What a lovely thing to ask Jesus to be the reason that we live. And whereas there may be stuff that we find hard to understand in this reading, I take comfort that I recognize the last part of the reading was speaking about Jesus. But just to give you some background to Daniel's story, we start in the first chapter of Daniel, and we're told in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. Now that seems like an unhelpful way to start anyone's story, because of course the life of God's people was going to be turned completely upside down. The things that they had taken for granted would no longer be so. Their hopes and their aspirations were completely robbed from them. It's a bit similar to the way that many of us may have felt over COVID. We've been filled with fears and dreads that we're not quite certain how it's going to go. I don't know whether you've looked at the BBC website, but there's talk, you know, that the current wave of cases may be contained, and that some bright spark called that the good outcome. Somebody else has found another scientist to say that the bad outcome may be that, well, it won't be quite that easy, and we'll have problems with the NHS, and we'll have to start wearing masks again. And the ugly outcome, well, we'll have to go into lockdown again, and nothing will take place, and yet more people will lose their income and their businesses. We don't know, but we put our faith and our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, because he knows. And these waves of pandemic have come and gone before, and we're told they will come and go again. And we have to be prudent in the meantime. And Daniel was one of those who were taken into captivity. And it's interesting to see that actually in the second verse of Daniel, there the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar. And the Lord allowed it to happen. And you know, we find this tough to understand, but there are some things in our lives that we would rather not be going through. For God's people, this was one of those times, but the Lord had allowed it to happen. And so we can picture examples in our own lives and in our own fellowship where things are allowed to happen. And anyway, Daniel was taken off along with several other young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. The elite were taken captive. And this seems to be a way that happens when people take captive another nation. Isn't that what Hitler wanted to do with the Hitler Youth? Get the young people, and then you can influence the future. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself in this way. And Daniel decided that he wasn't going to eat and drink what was on offer from the royal palace. There may not have been anything wrong with any individual component of that diet, but Daniel made a resolution. And you know, as in Daniel's day, so in our day, God can work with people who are prepared to make resolutions for him in the midst of difficult circumstances. I think it's one of the absolute truths of our faith that we shouldn't be waiting for our circumstances to be perfect before we dedicate ourselves to the way of God. Because if you wait until you're perfect, that day will never come. And I just so rejoice that God doesn't wait until you're perfect to use you in his purposes and in his service. And so it was with Daniel. And the officials around him thought, well, it's not too bad. If he doesn't want to eat the fillet steak, if he doesn't want to eat the drink the fine wine, that's okay. He can have the scraps and the potato peelings. And so they were allowed to eat what they had chosen to do before God. But of course, choosing what to eat was one thing, but not bowing down to worship the gods of Nebuchadnezzar and later his successor Belshazzar was another thing. And eventually it got to the point where Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, because although he'd become a vegetarian and he hadn't eaten the royal food, neither was he prepared to bow down and worship the gods of his captors. And it got to the point where this really ground into their very being. Who was this arrogant slave who not only ate our food, but wouldn't worship our gods? And so he was thrown into the lion's den, and we can just read here in Daniel 6, I think it's 14. When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. Because Daniel had made an impact on the king, but the law was the law, and there were consequences to not worshipping the gods of Belshazzar. And then the men went as a group to the king and said to him, "Remember, O king, that according to the law of the Medes and Persians, no decree or edict that the king issues can be changed." And the edict had been made, and so Daniel, they were brought, and Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. And the king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you." That was the sort of prayer not made from faith, but it came out of exasperation. What have I done? The king was feeling. But as we know, Daniel was delivered, and Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius the king and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. And so Daniel had a backstory, a pretty dramatic backstory, before we get to chapter 7 that I read to you. And He had a dream. It's said that, you know, old men dream dreams, so there are several of us here who would fit into that category. Don't eat too much cheese for supper, boys, or else you'll dream more and more dreams. But Daniel had a dream, and I don't understand this dream, and I don't think many have understood it, but that has not stopped them speculating about it. Four beasts come up from the sea. The sea wasn't as something as we know it today. The sea was a dark and mysterious place where shipwrecks occurred. You didn't have radar to tell you that there was a boulder underneath the keel of your boat. You didn't have any maps that were accurate, that could be relied upon. You had partial knowledge. And you know, when you've got partial knowledge of something, it's a dangerous situation to be in, because you think you know what you've got to look out for, but you're never quite certain. And it's very much like the pandemic. Am I going to get infected here, or will I be okay? And depending upon your disposition, you can swing from one situation to another. But there have been all sorts of speculations as to what these four beasts may represent, and do they represent ancient kingdoms, ancient Greece and powerful kingdoms, or do they represent, does the bear, for instance, represent Russia, the Russian bear? We've all heard that categorization. And is the leopard the Arab world? Could I say respectfully that it probably doesn't matter, because bullies come from dark places at whatever age you are looking towards. Did Hitler or Stalin or Pol Pot feature, or Idi Amin, as some of these beasts? We don't know. All that we know is that it's the same evil spirits that were driving their beastliness. All that we know is that it is part of the human condition for leaders of the wrong ilk to raise themselves up. If Trump had been a dictator, he might have featured here, mightn't he? But you know, names come and go. That's not what's important, I want to put to you. It's the spirit behind the names. It's the spirit that the leopard here, on its back it had four wings like those of a bird, and the beast had four heads, and it was given authority to rule. Well, I suppose four wings means that it can fly here, there, and everywhere, and the authority to rule means that it would trample its people, and we would probably have been those who were being trampled. I just so thank the Lord that we've been born into this age of grace and knowledge, so that we don't have fears about what might come out of the churning sea. We know when we go on our cruises that science has designed the cruise ships, and science has designed the radar, so that we know how soon the shore is going to be coming up. Pity that the captain of the Costa Concordia back there in 2012 tried to show off and sail too near the shore so that he could brag to his current girlfriend, and the the ship was beached. But in the main, we live in a much safer age than they were living. And the bear, it was raised up on one of its sides, and it had three ribs in its mouth between its teeth. I don't know what the symbolism is there, but I do trust that God wanted that symbolism to be recorded in his scripture, so that all ages and conditions of men and women through history could read it. We're told, you know, that the new is in the old concealed, and the old is in the new revealed, speaking of the two testaments of our Bible. And I want to take you from the four beasts as recorded in Daniel 7 and take you to Revelation 5, where there are another four beasts recorded. And we'll see how the New Testament reads. And I'm in Daniel 5. I saw a lamb, I'm in Revelation 5, looking as it had been, as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He came and he took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, and each had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Do you realize when we make prayer, whether it's private prayer at home or collective prayer here, that we fill up golden bowls in heaven? And those golden bowls are seen to be filled not just with your asks and needs and petitions. They turn into incense, which, just like some of the loveliest of your perfumes, pervade the whole area. And that's how Revelation describes it, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song: "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you made them to be a kingdom of priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." The version here says a kingdom and priests. You could interpret the same scripture, a kingdom of priests. And you know, I believe in the priesthood of all believers. And I believe that those of us who've known the grace of God can have a priestly role when we are speaking to those we meet in our day-to-day circumstances. We could perhaps even have a priestly role within our homes. Well, how did the service go today? Oh, we were talking about Jesus and how he loves each one of us. We were talking about faith and how we've got to have faith and believe that God wants to do things in our lives. That's a priestly role when you're sharing with those who've missed out on the privilege of worshiping together with us. And I'm glad that we don't have to sit behind the rude screen, because that's for the congregation, and this is for those who've passed some exam or are qualified to wear some particular cassock or surplus. God wants us all to know that there are no first and second class citizens in his heaven, and that is what we have been given life for. Not that we might live our battles here in this world, absorb our disappointments, but that we might move towards heaven and glory. Isn't it wonderful that we've been created for eternity? Not just for this life. We haven't been created to get cramp when we do too much gardening. We haven't been created to be ill when our bodies start wearing out. We've been created for glory. And I love the way that Revelation reflects in a way the same four creatures, but this time they are outworking their purposes according to God's good pleasure. I looked and heard his voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they sang, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." And so Daniel 7, which started off as being so mysterious and had such vivid descriptions of beasts that came up from the sea, ends up with another vision. And I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples and nations and men of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away. It must be referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. There is only one whose kingdom and authority is like that. His dominion is everlasting, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. And if you've heard authoritative preaching on what the four beasts were, well, take it with a pinch of salt, because next year the same authoritative preaching may give you a different answer. But remember that there's one who is described here that we know, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that when we make prayers to him, those prayers become as incense in golden bowls around the throne of God. Amen.